Lecture 17, Khomeinian Emperors and Crusader Princes.
In this lecture, I intend to discuss developments in the early 12th century resulting from the success of the First Crusade, but I wish to change our focus geographically. We're going to move to Constantinople and the Byzantine world and discuss in greater detail what the First Crusade meant for the Byzantine Empire. As you may recall in an earlier lecture, I discussed how Alexis I in many ways initiated the Crusade by his appeals to Western princes and Pope Urban II. And I've alluded on several occasions to the fact that the Byzantine government was quite perplexed, in many cases angered, over the developments after 1098, Bohemond retaining Antioch, the fighting in Jerusalem, the subsequent crusade of 1101. And I think it's time to put the emphasis on Byzantium and see what the Byzantine emperors Alexis I, his son John II, and Alexis's grandson, who in some ways is one of the most brilliant of this Khomeinian family, Manuel I, thought about the Western Crusaders, how the Crusades and the Crusader successes also had an impact on Byzantine policy. Well, much of the information we gain about Byzantine perceptions of the First Crusade and its aftermath come from Alexis's older daughter. Her name is Anna Komnena. I've mentioned her on several occasions. She was a court historian, a princess, born in about 1083. So at the time of the First Crusade, she was an adolescent. She's apparently met a number of these princes from the West, and her descriptions seem in part to be based on firsthand experience, especially in the way she describes Bohemond, whom she found remarkably attractive with his flared nostrils, his physique. On the other hand, she always criticized him for being ambitious, for arrogance. She suspected his motives. In part, that's reflection later in years. Anna died somewhere in the late 1140s, somewhere after 1144, usual date given is often 1148. And that's an important point to stress, because her history, which was by no means a history of the Crusade, but was a history of the reign of her father, Alexis, and therefore is known as the Alexiad, covers a whole variety of issues dealing with the Byzantine world and its surrounding regions. The Crusades play an important part in that, but it is not a history of the Crusades or the expedition to Jerusalem, as is the case with the two more or less contemporary chronicles of the First Crusade, written by Fulché of Chartres and Raymond of Aiguille. And I'll be discussing these historians later on in a lecture on culture. Well, Anna was a self-styled politician. She felt that she should be empress, and that her husband, a rather dreary man named Nicephorus Brienus, who was the son of one of the contenders for the throne back in 1081, one of Alexis's rivals, Anna had a notion that she and her husband were going to seize the throne when Alexis died in 1118. Her husband was so weak-willed that he actually divulged the plot to Anna's brother, younger brother John, who was clearly designated heir long ago. And as I've mentioned in an earlier time, Anna ended up being the typical Greek historian. She failed at politics, so she went into history and proceeded to write a history stressing politics and warfare of the Byzantine Empire. She idealized her father. There's no question about it. She detested her brother John. There are certain passages that indicate by the time it was written she was a rather embittered woman, retired to a nunnery. She had been kept out of power. She constantly praised the Caesar, that is her husband, and his history, which also told about events. He became a historian as well. And she had a remarkable sense of marital loyalty. She's constantly referring to how good her husband's history is, and yet it's her history that's translated and read by modern students. It's her history we turn to, whereas her husband's history is rather obscure, and deservedly so. He just wasn't of the same order of his wife in intellect.